Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining in. Today is a solo episode, so I'm going to talk about the film Fight Club. Now, there are something like 3 million videos on Fight Club, the philosophy of Fight Club, how Fight Club is about Nietzsche or Stoicism, many different approaches. One thing was missing, and is how Fight Club might relate to some themes that some objectivists might find interesting. So I thought I would fill this gap. Now, there's going to be spoilers, both for Fight Club, obviously, and for Atlas Shrugged. So if you haven't watched any of these two, probably wouldn't join today. But if you have, they're both interesting, but they both have a heavy element of you don't want a spoiler. So this is the time to tune off. So Fight Club, I'm talking mostly about the film. So the film is based on Chuck Palahniuk's book. It's from 97. And the film is one of these films where actually the film is in some ways better than the book. And I think it has a lot to do not only to the direction of David Fincher, but also to how Brad Pitt plays Tyler Durden, who is the hero. And it's a brilliant performance. Now, what's very interesting with Fight Club is that as time goes by, the people who get fascinated about Fight Club are changing. So Fight Club comes out in 99. And in its first years of its life, it is super popular with the anti-globalization left. So every cool leftist, every leftist who was edgy must have watched Fight Club and was like, yeah, Tyler Durden goes against the system. Because in the film, Tyler Durden actually believes that consumerism is one of the big problems we're facing. And actually he's targeting big corporations and all that stuff. So we have you some years later. So initially, this was the first thing. Some years, and particularly when critical theory and the problematization of masculinity started getting ground, the left started more and more disassociating itself from Fight Club. So around 2010, 2011, when Slavoj Žižek, the philosopher who was very popular with the left, said, I believe that the most revolutionary films, the two most revolutionary films of the last decades are Fight Club and 300. Many on the left thought that, okay, Žižek is taking the piss again. This can't be it. So as time went by, there was a different milieu that got more and more fascinated with Fight Club. And this was mostly the reactionary right and the alt-right. When I use the term alt-right, by the way, I mean it literally the alt-right. So some of the most in-depth critiques of Fight Club come from the alt-right because they see in this film everything that they believe in, how modernity is destroying the society, how modernity has emasculated men and all that stuff. So I'm not going to focus on everything wrong with Fight Club. So again, this has been done quite often. I just want to make a comparison between Tyler Durden, the hero, or maybe the anti-hero in Fight Club, and John Galt. Now, why am I doing this? Because I enjoy both Fight Club and Atlas Shrugged, and I think it's interesting. And also because both of these books, in many people's mind or in many critics' mind, are called cult classics. Are these supposedly for these books that or these films that you cannot really explain why they're such a big success? So I think it's worth it. So let's begin. So the first and obvious thing is that both Tyler Durden and John Galt are in some ways radical and revolutionaries. And I think this is something that quite often we are missing when objectivists talk about John Galt, because he's this brilliant mind, he's this brilliant engineer. But at the end of the day, John Galt, he's also a revolutionary. He's someone who is really pissed off with society and wants to see the society collapse and sees this collapse as an act of justice. So, and this might sound harsh, but remember again the scene in the 20th Century Motor Company where he stands up and says, I will put an end to this one and for all. And then says, I will stop the motor of the world. So he sees the corruption, mostly the moral corruption around him, and says, this cannot go on. And this needs to meet the end that it deserves. And what is this end? Ruthlessly, John Galt is going to take it to the point where basically civilization collapses. based on its own mistakes and its own decisions, but actually collapses. So we see towards the end of the book, this iconic scene where the lights of New York literally go out. Now, this is also something that makes Tyler Durden a very appealing character and why it enthuses so many people who are alienated and who don't find inspiration in society. So Tyler Durden basically says this society sucks and this society is killing everything which is good in you and therefore it needs to be destroyed. So he gives this some of these very famous monologues in the film where he's surrounded by these men who stare at him as if as their leader. And he has this very famous line, which is, we're working jobs we hate so we can buy things we don't need. And I think Palahniuk really hits a nerve there because you've probably seen these memes about, oh, I hate Monday so much. I can't believe it's Monday. Or these memes with people at work who are, you know, completely defeated and all that stuff. And interestingly, this happens mostly in middle class, more like in corporate types of work. So it's not very usual that you're going to see, let's say, a plumber with these kind of memes. So Palahniuk got that many people who live this lifestyle are not happy with their lives. Now, do we see this in Rand? We do. Actually, a theme which quite often appears in Rand's book is that everyone inside them knows that their life could be better than what it is. But then very quickly they suppress it. So inside everyone, there's this potential hero, but something around us or inside us is killing this. And let me read you a very short passage. It's one of my favorite passages in The Fountainhead, which, however, is very, again, for some reason, it's not among the most famous parts of the book. So it talks about the audience who shows up in Rourke's trial. And Rand says, quote, they would return to unwanted jobs, unloved families, unchosen friends, to drawing rooms, evening clothes, cocktail glasses and movies, to unadmitted pain, murdered hope, desire left unreached, left hanging silently over a path on which no step was taken, to days of effort not to think, not to say, to forget and give in and give up. But each of them had known some unforgotten moment, a morning when nothing had happened, a piece of music heard suddenly, and never heard it the same way again, a stranger's face seen in a bus, a moment when each had known a different sense of living. So we see also this theme in Rand that says that basically wake up, your life would be better than what it is now. Of course, Tyler Durden and Galt don't go in the same ways in waking up this feeling in people, but this is a theme that explains the appeal both at least the appeal that I found in Fight Club, but also in Rand's novel. This idea that your life could be better and basically you could do more and you could be something better. Another major characteristic, which again is often missed in at least in our circles, is the importance of being charismatic. So Tyler Durden is obviously charismatic. He's charismatic to the level where he's magnetizing people. And although no one in Fight Club knows really who Tyler Durden is, so he doesn't wear a label or something, by the way he moves around and he has this aura of taking people and charming people. And something similar happens in Atlas Shrugged. So John Galt shows up in someone's, they have a talk which can last some hours, and then that person is captivated. So why is this important? Because I'm gonna link it to something else that we often discuss also in Ayn Rand's NWK. It's not only about having good ideas, it's also about how to communicate these ideas. And this is not a pitch for the communication bootcamp, although I would definitely recommend it, our sessions with Don Watkins, but it's the importance of being someone that at least you aspire to inspire people. At least you aspire that you're someone that people look up to you. And again, this is something which is very, very important. And it's at the core of Tyler Durden in Fight Club, but also of John Galt in Atlas Shrugged. Something else which is similar is that both Tyler Durden and John Galt in some ways live within the system, but at the same time outside of the system. So why do the strikers, and obviously major spoiler for Alan Strike here, why do the strikers quit their jobs? They quit their jobs because they say, we don't want this system to benefit in any way from our minds. And basically, we want to protect our mind and our work from our destroyers. Now, it's not the same exactly in Fight Club, but we also see this theme that says that you have to give up everything that ties you to this system. And in Atlas Rock, those who have the means go and live in the Midas Mulligan Valley. The rest take menial, low-skill jobs so that they only contribute what they need for their subsistence. And in Fight Club, they go and live in squats or in abandoned buildings. So, and both the, let's say, the group of Fight Club and the strikers, there is one element in their life that gives light to the rest of their existence. So there's this world out there which sucks, but in Fight Club, there's the one night per week that they are someone else. They are, through Fight Club and through this experience and this bonding and this elevation to a different level. Now in Fight Club, it comes with fighting and with violence, controlled violence. Now you could like or dislike this, but this is not the topic. In Galt's, Atlas Rock, by going for 1 month every year to the valley, and as they say, this 1 month makes the rest of the 11 months tolerable. So in both cases, we have a world which is in decay, a world which is uninspiring, a world which is hostile to one's values or to one's view of life. But also we have this, let's say, outlet, this outside space, whereas it's either literally outside, as in Atlas Rug, or a place hidden on a basement, as it is in Fight Club. And by the way, if you're an objectivist and you're already thinking, oh my God, this is such a whitewashing of Fight Club, don't worry, the second part is gonna be the ways that Galt and Tyler Durden are obviously very, very, very different. Another thing is that both think that people have, and this is related to the first point, how they basically want to tell to people, look, you have this potential and now it's time for you to actually release it. So in Atlas, it's mostly think about the talks that Francisco has, the discussion that Francisco has with Hank Reardon, which is basically trying to tell him, look, you've lived your life with one code of value, and notice how you betray this code of value in this and this aspect of your life. In Fight Club, the scene that captures this basically push to become better, is the scene that I find the most fascinating scene in the book, and sorry, in the film. It's when Brad Pitt, when Tyler Durden goes to this guy who is a shop, who is a clerk, who is a cashier, how it's called in a grocery store, and he takes him to the backyard and he puts a gun at his head. The guy is called Raymond K. Hessel. It's the Raymond K. Hessel scene. And Brad and Tyler Durden puts a gun against his head and asks him basically, what was your big dream in life? Why? How did you end up here? What did you want to do before you became a person who basically assassinated all his dreams? And the guy is afraid because Tyler Durden tells me, you know what, I'm going to kill you, but before I kill you, tell me this. And he reveals that when he was a kid, when he was younger, he wanted to be a vet, a veterinarian. So, but studying, you'd have to study medicine and biology, and it was too much. So basically, Tyler is telling him, oh, does it sound like too much now that you're about to die? And then he tells him that, look, I'm not going to kill you now, but I'm going to track you down in 6 weeks. And if within 6 weeks you haven't chased this dream, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. And then the narrator, Jack, or he's not called Jack, but Jack is how he appears when he talks to himself. So he tells to Tyler Durden, what did you do there? Why did you do that? And in a very almost reverent look, Tyler Durden tells him that Tomorrow will be the most beautiful day in Raymond K. Hessel's life. His breakfast will taste better than any meal you and I have ever tasted. So obviously the solution is not to force people to see the values they've forgotten or to force people to chase their dreams. But I found something very appealing to the meaning of that scene. And again, putting it into perspective on how is it that today so many people find meaning, for example, in the teachings of or in the lectures of Jordan Peterson, because they tap into this idea that there was a hero somewhere within me and at some point I completely lost it. But now someone is telling me that, no, you should still aspire to that heroic element in life and you should still aspire to chase these dreams. So here is though where the similarities basically end. And here is where Tyler Durden and John Galt are. These are some of the things that I like in both, but here come the differences. And the differences are in some ways bigger than the similarities, beyond the fact that they're both, you know, charming and exciting. And by the way, another thing is that when I was thinking who would be the best person to play John Galt, I think Brad Pitt would very much fit the role, particularly Brad Pitt around that time, or a bit around the time of Fight Club or the time of Ocean's 12. So he has this serene and beautiful face that I think would really fit John Galt. Okay. I mean, imagine him with a cup of the worker sitting in the cafeteria and chatting with Eddie Willis. It could definitely be him. Now, what is the biggest difference though? The biggest difference is, what do they want this revolution for? So John Galt in a way has to become a revolutionary because that's the only way he can pursue his values. John Galt's revolution is a plea to the people saying to get out of my way. So he has realized that the way the world is going, he cannot pursue his values anymore in this world. And that's why this world has to perish. Not only him, but any rational human being cannot pursue their values there. This is why the world needs to be destroyed. And again, be destroyed by its own contradictions and its own mistakes and its own sins. Whereas in Fight Club, we see a different kind of revolution. So in Fight Club, at some point, Fight Club, this group of men who fight, and through this fight they become they find themselves, they become less emasculated, so to speak, to use the language of the film. Then Fight Club turns to Project Mayhem, and Project Mayhem is a very significant turn in the film. So now it's not anymore a project of, let's say, self-development. Because Tyler Durden openly says that self-development is, there's nothing to be celebrated in self-development. He considers it almost like mental masturbation, but there is something to be gained in destruction. And this is what Project Mayhem is about. And you see a significant difference also in the men who participate. So the men, you see them after Fight Club, when they fight each other, they leave hugging each other. It's almost as if for the first time they live at their potential. Where with Project Mayhem, they turn to completely mindless followers. So you've probably seen the NPC, the non-player character meme. So for many people, particularly in the right, they like Fight Club because supposedly Fight Club criticizes this NPC phenomenon. These people who all think the same, and through masculinity, they become someone else. But actually, the people who participate in Project Mayhem, who anarchistic, nihilistic group that blindly follows Tyler Durden's orders and does acts of vandalism and destruction, they're basically NPCs. And they act as NPCs. They even repeat the same dead slogans. And the same slogan, they have this complete lack of individuality. And this is something that actually Tyler Durden celebrates. He says that space monkeys, which is how he calls his armies, Space monkeys need to be ready to sacrifice yourself for the greatest good. And then when he does his acts of vandalism, what is the aim? The aim is economic equilibrium. So why would you want to escape from this world of alienation, of ugliness? And indeed, it is a world of alienation and ugliness. But why would you want to retreat to a world where there's even more alienation and even more ugliness? And ugliness on the actual sense of the word. So there is one scene where Edward Norton, the narrator, is in one of the Fight Club sessions, is completely destroying the face of a young boy. And it's a beautiful boy. And he says that actually he wants, how did he put it? I felt like destroying something beautiful. Or he says, I felt like dumping petrol oil to the beautiful photos of the French beaches that I have seen in the French Riviera and all that stuff. And actually, in the book, I think there's a scene where it says something like, I want to destroy Mona Lisa and wipe my behinds with it. So you see this nihilism, you see this, that I want to destroy for the sake of destruction, as opposed to John Galt, I want to destroy so that life, so that values can prevail. And also you see that John Galt wants to destroy whatever is wrong with the world, whereas Tyler Durden wants to destroy basically indiscriminately. Doesn't matter if something is good. And there's not even this process of judging whether something is good or whether something is bad. It's mostly about we have to destroy. And what is the vision of Tyler? The vision of Tyler Durden is almost a primitivistic vision. And here, in some ways, it reminds us at least the slogans of Bronze Age pervert. We had an episode where we discussed BAP and why BAP is inspiring so many people and what are, let's say, the healthy ways that someone could say, there's ugliness here, I want to revolt, but how this can go completely sideways if it is, let's say, a blind, devoid of values, pursuit of power or of pursuit of destruction for the sake of it. And so this is something that becomes very, very clear in Fight Club. So what is their understanding of freedom? For Galt, freedom means let me pursue my values and don't stand in the way. For Tyler Durden, freedom means I'm free to do whatever I want without any inhibition. So at some point to the end, major spoiler alert here, when the narrator realized that he and Tyler Durden are the same person, Tyler says, I'm free in all the ways you are not. And again, this is almost a will to power. A will to power not inhibited again by anything. And what's the problem with that? The problem is that this is not the way to go through life. So some days actually, after I did the episode on Bronze Age perverts, there were some of his followers in the comments who said something like, yes, but isn't this the most, this is actually what true individualism is. True individualism is you have the power. And they say power is amoral. You can use it for good, you can use it for bad, but you have this power. And a figure that came to my mind was Uday Hussein, who lived this, and it's not a coincidence that many people around the circles of Bab do like Saddam himself. And Uday Hussein died at what? Before he was 40. So you cannot say that whatever I feel like doing, as long as I'm free to do it, because I have the power to do it, is good for me. No, if it's going to lead to a life where basically you have to sleep with three revolvers under your pillow, maybe it's not a good idea. Or some days after that episode, I was doing some readings about the Greek mafia of the 90s, early 2000s. And again, it's very significant that almost each one of them perished before the age of 40, many of them in their early 30s, and in horrendous ways. They were buried in, they were killed in front of their families and things like that. So yearning for this freedom is something, yearning for freedom is good, but believing that freedom means freedom from any inhibition, including the inhibition of what is the rational thing to do here, what is something that's going to be good in my life, for my life, usually ends in destruction. So this is what Tyler is about. Tyler wants to return almost to a quasi-primitive society. And this, he says, I dream a Rockefeller building, which is almost has become something like a jungle, and people are wearing skins, leathers, and we hunt and things like that. Now, you could say this is symbolic. He doesn't literally want to return there. But what exactly is he trying to achieve? This does not become clear. And it wouldn't be surprising if this, again, leads to an orgy of nihilism, which at the end of the day becomes self-destruction. And self-destruction is very prominent in Fight Club. And there are two ways you can do it. You can see it. The one is self-destruction as if destroy this weak, in terms of morally weak and unfulfilling life, peel off the skin of you being the, as Tyler calls him, the IKEA boy. And then within the, after that, something stronger comes out. And the other thing is self-destruction for the sake of it. And it does not become clear, definitely not in the book, but also not in the in the movie, where exactly Tyler stands in that. Whereas with God, we have this very clear moral vision about how I'm chasing values that are going to make my life better, also the life of the people I like better, because this is objectively what my life requires to be good. So I cannot do whatever I want because that's not good for me. So there's a very selfish reason not to want to be Uday Hussein or not to want to be whatever Tyler becomes towards the end, towards the end of the end of the book. Okay, end of the film. So I see it's time to move it to Clubhouse. So what do we have then? So 8 o'clock UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern. We have the integrating investor with Seth Levine. And the topic today is what's behind today's inflation. So inflation is obviously a big problem a big worry. So someone who understands economics is going to discuss this issue. Okay, so final thoughts would be, I know many objectives are going to have a lot of objections with Fight Club, but I have to say, maybe guilty pleasure, I think it's impossible not to find something appealing in the aura and the charisma of Brad Pitt and the charisma of Tyler Durden, and not to find something interesting in this idea that you haven't lived up to your potential and you find a way through which this potential can be reached. And this is what I keep from Fight Club. So I think you can watch the movie, keep the things that you like, you shouldn't feel guilty if you like a film that maybe within a different context, it leads to wrong ideas. You can stick to the good ideas. You can integrate them to your context and you can enjoy the film. Anyway, that was today's discussion. I hope you found some interesting things, and we're gonna be back on Monday with a daily objective. Till then, have a good weekend. Enjoy the Euro that starts today. I know that I will. I've been looking forward to international football since the World Cup. Completely unrelated to the Fight Club, but anyway, who cares? Thank you and goodbye.